You desired to bring us to yourself, Lord. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. You can't deny your name, and you gave us your name. We acknowledge you, Lord. We yield to you, Lord. It's all about you. It's not about us. It's about you, Lord. Father, I ask you to forgive us if we've treated you like an errand boy, running around, answering prayers for us and doing our bidding. I ask you to forgive us for that. Lord, that we would be receptive to your leading and your desires, that we would be at your beck and call, making ourselves available to you, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you just wash our minds from the things of this world, from all those things, Lord, that have glommed onto us over the days and weeks, and that you'd refocus us again, that we're seated in paradise, that you brought us into paradise, that you liberated us from this world, Lord. Father, I ask that you would rise up inside of each and every one of us, Lord, that we would walk in the authority and the gift, the anointing that you died to bring us. That we would wake up in revelation knowledge as to who we really are because of you, Lord. Glory be to your name. We recognize you here and we honor you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. You know, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Can you guys hear me all right? I'm talking a little soft at the moment, but I'll be shouting in a minute. So will you. I'm prophesying. I know how this is going to end. Glory to God. We should just thank him now because it's going to get really good in here. So let's just thank him right now. Lord, we just thank you. We just praise you. We just honor you. We worship you because you can't help but be who you are, Lord. That your presence, Father, just permeates the atmosphere of this room, Lord. That your glory fills this temple and these vessels here, Lord. And that your goodness and your life is tangible in this place, Lord. That heaven, Father, invades earth in this space, Lord, that we yield ourselves to you and give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, you have the right to be yourself in here, Lord. You have the freedom to operate the way you want to operate, Father. You have the freedom to speak to your children the way you would like, Lord, and to just love on us and glorify yourself, Father. We release you to that. And all the heavenly hosts that surround this place, that look in at this moment to see what God is doing, you're invited to bring your friends too and see what God is doing. Fill this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. Praise be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, to make yourself available to God, to honor him by recognizing him in your life is vital. It's really easy, and I tell you this every time I teach, it's really easy to be seduced by this world to try to have a relationship with God in your mind, rather than acknowledging the friend that is present with you. And if you don't recognize the Lord present with you, you're doing something wrong. You're living a life of isolation, and that's never good to be isolated. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Doesn't work well. I know they meant that in the flesh, but we no longer live according to the flesh. We're dead in the flesh according to the New Testament, right? So he's not talking about, it's not good for man to be alone in the flesh. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, that we would never be alone. Never be alone. But we have to groom that relationship. We have to make a place for him in our life. He has to become the priority. Are you with me? That doesn't happen on accident, and it doesn't happen by chance. And I'm going to promise you something. God is so good, he won't force himself on you. So he's not going to just sweep you away with his glory either. Because he loves you too much to do that to you. He won't force himself on you. But he is absolutely real and available to the degree that we will choose him. To the degree that we will honor him. To the degree that we will make space for him. To the degree that we set our attention and our focus upon him. The day can get busy. That's why I think a lot of people like to go to the Lord first thing in the morning before the day gets overwhelming, so they can make that connection with God and get that relationship awake and vibrant again, and then carry it into the productivity of their day. So I think there's a lot of people that really like to get early in the morning and get with the Lord for that purpose. If you're not an early riser, that's perfectly fine. It's to bring your attention back onto the Lord himself and the kingdom of God and the reality of who we are in the kingdom. Okay, I'm going to be talking to you about some stuff that's a little controversial. Is that okay? Okay, so I want to let you know, if you're not able to participate in heavenly things, you will definitely poo-poo this. You know why? Because there's no continuity for you. There's no frame of reference for you. You can't touch it, taste it, smell it, or feel it unless you're awake in the spirit. All right? A flesh and blood person that only thinks about earthly things cannot comprehend this. I just want to let you know. So until you can really start learning how to be spiritual, I'm not talking about New Age weirdness. I'm talking about being in fellowship with God Almighty who birthed us and brought us to life. Amen? All right, so let's just go right into the meat of it. John chapter 10. I was talking with some of the prayer people this morning. We were having morning prayer every Thursday morning before service. And you know, one thing that was brought up was there's a movement, you know, with Smith Wigglesworth and Catherine Kuhlman and Kenneth Hagin, a real movement in the spirit where those guys of old really walked in power in the kingdom of God. Remember that? All those guys really walking in some serious power as if they were specially anointed for that time. And then there's people who it's the word, 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 and they walk in no power. You know, it's about the book, the book, the book, the book, the book, but no power. I'm believing, along with others, that this is the time when we're grounded in the book and we're walking in power. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? And the reason is this. Who is the power? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And when we use the book and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping us. There's no stopping us because we have the word and the power. God is so good. Paul said this. He said, I do not come to you in excellence of speech. In other words, I'm not the greatest orator. I don't put it together the very best. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. But I come in the demonstration of the Spirit with power. Doesn't he do that? Isn't that true? We need both together. We have to have both together. And we're going to look at Jesus' perspective. We're going to look at Jesus' perspective. Are you with John chapter 10 with me? I'm just going to read the whole chapter, if you don't mind. Most assuredly, starting in verse 1, most assuredly. Now, I want to let you know something. Whenever he says verily or assuredly, he's saying amen. Okay? Amen. This is how amen starts the sentence or starts the phrase. In other words, you can go to the bank on this. Okay? You can trust this with everything in you. All right? Just like amen. So be it, and let it be according to that for me. Okay? So that's what he's saying when he starts out with verily or assuredly. Assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. So who is the thief? It's anyone. He's talking to religious people right here. Now, I know that you guys automatically have in you, in John chapter 10, that the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. I know you have that in you. And I know you've been taught it's the devil, okay? And I'm not going to try to rub that out. Let that be true, okay? But I'm asking you for the sake of this moment to set that aside for a minute, okay? We're not going to hurt that. You just set it aside. Let's just look at what it actually says on the page. Can we do that? Because I don't want to ruin anybody's doctrine, but it never even mentions the devil here. It never even brings him into the conversation. Okay? We do that. And he is a thief and a robber. But for this context, let's just stay on the page, okay? So it says, so the thief and the robber is a person who tries to get into heaven without going through Jesus. Okay? A thief and a robber tries to get into the spiritual realm without going through Jesus. Okay? So it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens. So we've got a shepherd and we've got a doorkeeper. Okay? And the shepherd goes in through the door and the doorkeeper opens this door for the shepherd to go in, right? And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. So it starts out that this shepherd, after he goes into the sheepfold, he sees the sheep that are in there, and he calls them by name. Is that what it says? I wonder who the sheep are. Oh, us? All right. So let me just think about this a minute. Jesus actually went and got you. And he called you. He knew you personally. And he called you to come into his kingdom. Okay, so you didn't chase him down to find him. So it's him that sought you out to bring you in. Right? Okay. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. They do not know the voice of strangers. Isn't that refreshing? You do not know the voice of a stranger. You only know the voice of the Lord. Let it settle in, you guys. He came and sought you out, that he can bring you in. And you don't even know the voice of a stranger. It's only him that you follow. Let this settle down. This is you and me. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers." So these are those that came before Jesus, are the thieves and the robbers. Okay? Everyone, he said, that came before him. These are the thieves and robber, and the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, "I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Sozo, the word saved, the word that we know. Saved, healed, made whole, sealed, and preserved. "And will go in and out and find pasture." What? "And go in and out." And will go in and out of where? Of where?
Of God's presence.
The sheepfold. They will go in and out and find pasture. Do you know you can go in and out? Why? Because you're following the shepherd. You can go in and, according to this, you can go in and out. That's news to me. I can go in and out. According to this, it says I can. Yeah, where? What, is it an actual pen that he's talking about? Where's Jesus the door to? The kingdom of God. Is that on the earth? So it's the kingdom of God that Jesus is the doorway to, that we can go in and out? What? Let's just think and keep reading. Let me ask you this. Is there possibly more available to us than we're walking in because of doctrine and unbelief? Is there a chance that that's possible? Didn't say truth. It's never mentioned truth. Let's only read what's on the page. And if there's an association that he's making, let's look at what is the association that he's making. Jesus is the door to where? Okay, maybe we don't know the answer yet. Let's keep going. Verse 10. "Then the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So Jesus is the doorway to this life and abundant life. Right? According to this. So there's a door of abundant life, which is Jesus. And we can go in and out of the door. He leads us through, in and out, right? Just like the sheep out of a sheepfold. They don't follow another's voice. They follow the Lord's voice in and out, right? They run away from the strangers. They only follow the Lord. Let me just stop for a second. I'm on verse 11. Boy, we're already halfway through. I'm not, though. Father, I thank you that no grumbling bellies today. Everybody's good. All right. My sister actually raises sheep. Okay? So she raises sheeps. Sheeps? What's more, it's not a shep, right? It's a sheep. So sheeps. And do you know what? They are pretty dumb. They can't get themselves out of problems. They find themselves in all kinds of sticky wickets. And they need help getting out. And she's their help. And she spends time with them and shearing them and feeding them and watering them and fixing their broken legs and helping them get freed of all kinds of diseases and problems that try to get on them, from their hooves getting too wet and staying wet in the mud and all kinds of things that sheep have problems doing. Okay? And she can take her sheep, and the goats actually also, and can take them into the marketplace and put them in a pen. And other people can take their sheep and put them in the very same pen. And then more people can come and take their sheep and put them in the very same pen. When it comes time for my sister to get her sheep, you know what she does? She calls them by name. And you know what they do? They come. The other people's sheep don't come to my sister because they don't know her. So the sheep know who's their shepherd. They know. And they don't follow another. I'm telling you, they run from somebody else. They're too afraid. They are so afraid all the time. They're very skittish animals. And they follow her because they know her, and she feeds them and she pets them and she shears them and she comforts them and she hangs out with them. And they follow her in and they follow her out, even though there's a bunch of other ones in there. Okay? Sometimes a lot of Christians don't go further in growing in the Spirit because they're afraid. They're afraid of being misled, or demons, or darkness, or things that are out there in the spiritual realm and in the kingdom of God. And so they stay tight in a little huddle. I'd like to encourage you that if you stay with the shepherd, if you stay in the presence of God and in the fellowship of God, let him lead you where he's going, wherever that may be. Because if you try to do it on your own, weirdness can happen and strangeness. Now, what we're talking about is being grounded in the Word and walking in the power of the kingdom of God. Bringing it all to reality here. Not just power, not just book, both together so that the Spirit and the Word agree together and manifest in our lives, right? So, how are you following me without your book? Okay. I love that guy, I gotta tell you. So I'm moving on to verse 11. I'm planting a few seeds in your heart and in your minds here, okay? Can you tell? I'm trying to just comfortably stretch you out just a little bit before I go too far. Okay? You are more than you estimate yourself to be. You are more than you estimate yourself to be. I want to let you know, you are capable of so much more than you're operating in right now. But you have to go through the scary place of stretching, being out of your comfort zone. They used to call this in the olden days walking by faith. They used to call this in the olden days to living by faith. They used to call this in the olden days witnessing. Stepping out to where you're not comfortable and secure, expecting the Holy Spirit to make up the difference. Okay, that's kind of slipped away a little bit in society. It's kind of slipped away a little bit. But I want to let you know, God hasn't changed, not one bit. So let me go on, or I'm not going to have enough time. Where did I stop? Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, who is not the shepherd, One who does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. In other words, what he's doing, he's comparing himself with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and who were the religious leaders of that time. Okay? Oh boy, Lord, do I really want to go there? I'm going to freak them out. Is it okay? All right. They had the ability to go into the kingdom of God as religious leaders, and they didn't do it, and they got reprimanded for not doing it and for keeping us out. If you remember in Exodus, I won't go there right now, but I think it's in chapter 24, around verse 9 or 12. Moses, when they went onto the mountain and God was speaking to them after they came out of Egypt, remember that? And they went to Mount Sinai, and the thundering and lightning was on the mountain, and the mountain burned, and God said, don't anybody come up on this mountain, not even an animal. You're going to kill them and shoot them through with an arrow, right? Stone them or shoot them through with an arrow. No one come onto the mountain. Remember, he was very serious. But he let Moses up on the mountain, right? You remember that? Well, at that time, I want to let you know something. That they had 70 elders and four guys, Moses and three other guys. And God told them, I want you to bring those guys up with you. Stay a little bit away. Come up, but stay a little bit away. Okay? Those 70 guys plus four, there were 74 of them, went up on the mountain, and there on the mountain was Jesus on an emerald pavement that was clear as the ocean water. Beautiful, gorgeous, opened up heaven for these guys, all 70 of them. And they sat there and they ate and they drank in the presence of God. And God did not lay a hand on them. He never killed them. He brought them up there so that those guys that were going to lead the people knew how to get into the presence of God. It's amazing how we'll read our book and leave that little bit out. Because there's a blindness that comes over Christianity's mind that says this is all there is. But the book doesn't say this is all there is. The book says there's more. So these guys came into the presence of Jesus at that time and then turned right around and sinned. Remember, Moses was up there a little bit too long because God said, now you come all the way up and I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. Remember that? Okay, let's set that aside. These guys, when they went into the temple, they would come into the presence of God. And they would be able to tangibly be with God. How about when they were walking around the wilderness? Remember the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke? Their shoes didn't wear out. They were fed manna. This rock, this big old rock, literally followed them around. A boulder rolled around and gave them water. Even if a boulder did not roll around and give them water, there was a rock high enough that no matter where they were, it would flow down into the land, whatever part and portion they were in. They lived in the tangible presence of God, didn't they? And every other country around was scared to death of them. Why? Because God was with them. There was proof of it. Right? Has God changed? Is he still willing to be with men? By who? Mr. H.G. Mr. H.G. is so willing and available all the time. Isn't he? Let's read on. Where'd I stop? Okay, I have to go a little faster. I'm just going to jump ahead if you don't mind. And we're talking about the sheep hearing his voice and the Pharisees and Sadducees whoever they were at the time, the religious leaders of that time, were very, very angry with Jesus. And they were very angry with Jesus because he said this, I and the Father are one. And they wanted to stone him. And he said to them, you can read it in chapter 10 yourself. And he said to them, for which of these wonderful things that I'm doing here, which one of those you want to stone me for? For those of you that are looking and you don't know where that is, it's down around verse 30, go 28 to 30. It says, which of these things is it you want to stone me for? And they said, not for any of these things, but because you call yourself God. And he says, isn't it written in your own books that you are gods? And the scriptures cannot be broken. He said, the scriptures cannot be broken. You know what that means? You can't take that out of the book. It's true whether you like it or are willing to believe in it or not. It's true about you also. Jesus and the Father were one. And because of that, Jesus walked in the life of the Father on the earth. You say, well, Robert, that's cool. Jesus and the Father, well, I believe that. But like, I'm not that. Jesus was, like, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, you know, and he was special. He was different than me. So I'm not one of that group, except the fact that Jesus said you were. In John chapter 17, go ahead and look there real quick. Let's just go to verse 20 and 21. I'm going to go further than 21, so just go from 20 and then we'll go on. Are you with me? I do not pray for these alone. Jesus is there praying for his disciples. But he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Okay? We weren't there, but we believe what they wrote. And so we're of the group that we believe through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that these also may be one in us, that they, the world, may believe that you sent me. And the glory in verse 22, which you gave me, I have given them. So, it is you and I too. It is you and I also. We are sons and daughters of God, which falls into one category actually, which is called the Son of God, which means you're the offspring of God. You are. Not alone, with and by the Spirit of God, Mr. HG in you, right? Makes you that you have been born again with a new life of the Spirit. And in that new life of the Spirit, you are God's son and daughter. Can you believe that? Pain in your body would like you to not believe it. Pain in your body would like you to believe that you're not, and that you need somebody to rescue you. An empty bank account would make you believe that you're not, and that somehow you need help and need to be bailed out. A lot of drama in your family and in your loved ones can make you feel powerless sometimes, and angry and vengeful and rageful, which would make you believe that you're not. You see, the Pharisees got reprimanded because they wouldn't go in, even though they had access. And not only did they have access and they didn't go in, They stopped you and I from going in. And Jesus rebuked them for that. You and I have the right to fellowship with God because He's our Father. We're family. But the reality of the kingdom of God takes you pressing in. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. No, go to Mark chapter 8. Go to Mark chapter 8. Peter had a revelation from God that Jesus was the Christ, right? God dropped that into his heart that Jesus was the Christ. And you all know it. And then Jesus starts telling them how he had to die, right? And that he would rise on the third day. Peter got all freaked out, took Jesus aside, and rebuked Jesus. Okay? Let's just look at it. Verse 32. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. Look, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." That's how the devil gets you and keeps you out of going in and out of the Spirit and of the kingdom and the presence of God. That's how he gets you. But look, this is really big. So then they go on, and after a few days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Okay? Turn the page. Verse 2 of, what chapter is 9? Verse 2 of 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining and exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Stop. Could that ever be possible for you and I? It is if you could believe. It really is. If you could believe, if you can lay aside doubt and unbelief and your natural history of your progress so far in your life, and you lay it down and get into the presence of God, faith exceeds in the presence of God. Possibilities open up tremendously in the presence of God. Confidence and boldness increases in the presence of God because you're not operating off of your strength now. You're operating off of His. Okay? You're not operating off of your natural fleshly life. You're operating off of His eternal life. Because Jesus is our life. But until you're in His presence, you can't experience that. Now, I know all of us in worship have had that from time to time for a glimpse or so, which is really awesome in the presence of God. People start speaking in tongues and lifting up exaltations and singing and rejoicing when they come into that moment of in the presence of God. But I want you to know, that's only walking up to the door. That's all that is walking up to the door. The word door is a portal or an entryway. And when we come into that experience in worship, that's only getting to the door, you guys. That doesn't mean you're going in yet. That's why after a few minutes, it subsides and you're back into your fleshly minds. Okay? But once you cross the threshold into His realm, it changes you. It changes you. Let me read on. His clothes became shining and exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Is that possible for us? It's very possible for us. How many of you wake up in the morning thinking it may happen to you today? Maybe not so many, huh? Because we're mindful of other things. Our mind is full of other things. Colossians says to set your mind on things above in chapter 3, not on where? The things on the earth. That means we have to deliberately want to groom this spiritual life. And Elijah and Moses appeared to them, and we're talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he didn't know what to say, for he was greatly afraid. In other words, he's in the presence of this glowing, beautiful, white, brilliant Jesus, and as his light started shining, it let the light of the glory of the kingdom of God that was there with them all the time start seeing into that realm where Moses and Elijah was, because the light had gotten so bright right there. Backing up, the light of the Spirit lets you see what is right there around you that you can't perceive because it's too dark around you, because of your mind, what it's focused on. The light of the life of the Spirit is available to you and I. Moving on. Because he was greatly afraid, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came down from them. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Other chapters in this book says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I think it says that in Mark. Hear him. Okay. Let me just bring this in context. Who's on the mountain right now? Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, right? Jesus, Elijah, Moses. And then Peter, James, and John. Probably with their nose in the dirt. Who was the Father talking to? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Who was the Father talking to? Who? Peter, James, and John. Peter, who just said, just a week before, God forbid that you die. And God is backing up this to him and the others. Hear what he's saying. Hear what he's saying. This is my God Almighty Son. Hear him. Not just casually listen to what he tells you. Hear him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow no other, is what he said. Can the correction come now? Is it okay that I bring the correction now? I am a witness that many of us don't believe God and don't actually make the priority to hear God and do what he says. Many of us are guilty of worrying about the pain in our body, our finances, or our relationships, where we live, how people think of us, whether or not the weather's good enough to get out or not, what the sale is at Walmart, what's on the menu at the restaurant, whether my car is as good as another person's car, do I have enough money in retirement or not. I'm telling you, we're mindful of the wrong things. Jesus, when he talked about the ground, the four grounds, the first one was hard as a rock, and I don't think any of us are there. But the next one says, oh yeah, Lord, sure, whatever you want, Lord, oh, that's good. And they fall away quickly, no staying power at all. How many of us would fall away if the Lord says, I want you to seek me because I want to reveal something very, very magnificent to you. So I want you to pursue me. Okay? What happens if it takes 6 months? Are you going to quit? Or do you believe God? Or does God have to actually crack heaven open in a dark cloud and speak out loud in a booming voice, do what I say? So just a little rebuke here, you guys. The Bible says we have to seek him with our whole heart. Seek him, not his stuff. Seek him, not healing. Seek him, not finances. Seek him, not the restoration of our loved ones. Seek him, because he knows something. If we'll do that, we get all the rest. Solomon said, Lord said, ask me what you will. Solomon said, give me the wisdom to be able to rule your people. God was so blown away by that and so happy about that. He says, you know, because you weren't being selfish and asking something for yourself, I'm going to give you all riches. I'm going to give you all the other things. And he was the richest person that's ever lived on the earth because he sought God for himself and not for his personal self. He sought God for who God is and God's wisdom and not his own personal. Don't get me wrong. We need to be healed in our bodies. We need to walk by faith. But if you know when they came down, I know it's getting late, so I don't want to keep going too long. When they came down off the mountain, Jesus told them, don't tell anybody about what just happened up there. Okay? Until after I raised from the dead. In other words, when God said, you hear him, he was talking to you. He was talking to you. They went down, and then, you know, we had the epileptic child who was being thrown into the water and into the fire, right? And the disciples couldn't heal him. He said this, how long am I going to have to be with you guys? Do you not get it? Do you not really understand who you are? And this is what he said. It's because of your unbelief. Because you're mindful of things other than the pursuit of God himself. I promise you, if you seek him, you will find him. He is ready and willing and available. How many of us have heard, taste of the Lord, for he is good? How many times do we read, he'll never be angry with us? How many times do we read that we are the apple of his eye, the center of his affections, that he loves us so much that he is willing to send his own son to die for us? I want to encourage you to come into the presence of the Holy Spirit and to be taught by him how to go in and go out, how to be spiritual, how to walk in heaven on earth, that whatsoever thing you bind on earth will actually be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thing you loosed in the earth will actually be loosed in the heaven. And in other words, it says it this way. Whatever is loosed in heaven, you will loose it on the earth. Whatever's unacceptable in heaven, you will make it unacceptable on the earth. But if you don't know that you live in both places at the same time, you will not effectively do this. There is no veil between heaven and earth for you. The veil was torn. It's open to you and I. That's real. That's true. But if we're not mindful of the things of God, but we're looking at things according to just our own personal agendas, we can't grow more. And the church is powerless because of it. Because the church doesn't walk in the reality of who Jesus spent so much time and of himself to give us. Are you with me? This kind goes out by prayer and fasting. That means this. You got to get serious, you guys. I'm telling you, you got to get serious. There was a woman who wanted justice. So she goes to court. And she was a nag. She would get in the judge's face and, you need to rule in my favor. You need to make your verdict in my favor. You need to do what's right. You need to do. And the judge, who didn't respect God or man, gave her exactly what she wanted. Why? Because she wearied him. She was a pain in the derriere. And he wanted to get rid of the pain and the you know what. God also made it clear to us that knock and keep on knocking. That's in the listen, knock and keep on knocking. Knock and keep on knocking. You may have to knock for a while because of the unbelief that's in your heart and mind and it's been your experience so far. I'm telling you now, God's not going to drop it in your lap because you're so cute. You have to decide that it's valuable and you're going to get it no matter what, that you are not going to go without your prize. You are not going to be robbed of your inheritance. You will not be stolen from anymore, that you will knock and keep on knocking, not because God is not good and wants to give you all things, but because you've got so much unbelief, it's going to take a while to get through the mess. And seek, and you will find. Seek and keep on seeking. Keep on finding a way. Listen, you have to find the way to get into the presence of God and get your healing, get your prosperity, get your family right. It's not by you doing something. It's by you knowing someone. Every great job that anybody gets is not because of their skill or ability. It's because they know somebody. I'm telling you. It's who you know. You guys know somebody. I just want to let you know. You know the man. You do. You know the man. So you knock and you seek and you keep on coming and coming and coming until you get it. Again, it is not God withholding anything from you. It's all the lies you've told yourself thinking it's the truth. You got to get through that network of garbage. That's why we forgive. That's why we release. That's why we don't carry offenses. That's why we let go of the things that distract us so that our prize is not in this world. But it's in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because if the love of this world is in you, the love of the Father is not. According to 1 John. And too many of us are in church and asking God to please deliver us. Please help me get through this. Please help my loved ones. And we're begging and crying. Because we don't know who we really are and the authority we've really been given and how the devil really is afraid of you and how when you decide that you will walk this out, you will get these results, you will stop crying and whining and complaining and thinking less of yourself and being fearful, but you will be bold and go get what God said to get. You'll have it. Amen. I encourage you to come back Sunday night. Sunday night I'm going to be teaching on 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll let you know how really important it is to God that you make your election sure. Election sure. That you make sure your calling comes to pass. It's not happen chance. It's not just it'll fall in your lap. You have to go make it happen. And when you have that attitude, every blockade will move out of the way because you've now become the immovable object. But it's not through arrogance. It's not through haughtiness. It's not through pride. It's through the knowledge of God, who you are and I am. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. So now I want to pray, and I ask you, those that are listening to me and those that are here in the room with me, I want you to close your eyes. I pray a little differently than some people do. I ask you to not only listen with your ears, but I ask you to see with your eyes that are open while your natural eyes are closed. Close the eyes of your flesh. If you're driving in a car, please don't do that. And open the eyes of your spirit. And let's pray. And I want you to follow me as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, Lord. Father, you've shown many men your kingdom and your glory. You've opened heaven to many, many men and women, Lord. You've given people anointing and power. You've given us your word, and in your word is revelation, life-transforming revelation. And Father, in your presence is the fullness of joy, that you are eternal life itself, that you give eternal life to anyone who will come to you through Jesus. And Father, I ask that that life, that light of life that is in us, Lord, be like a dimmer switch, that it gets turned up brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter as the revelation of who you are and what you've given to us, making us sons and daughters of God, that we are the light, that we have the words of life in us, Lord, and that your anointing abides in us, that your glory shines forth from us, and that we get brighter and brighter and brighter by your glory, even to transfiguration, Lord, as we remove the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the judgments and the offenses that bind us and cling to the things of this world, Lord, I ask that we get freer and freer and freer, that we do not ask that we would put off the things of this flesh, but instead that this mortal body would be swallowed up by life itself, Lord. That from the depths of who we are in a relationship with you, Holy Spirit, that the glory and the presence of God shines forth from us in every organ of our body, in every cell of our body, from our very skin itself, Father. Moses had your glory on his skin, but you said we have a glory that excels even beyond that because it's within us. And that glory is so bright, Lord, that as we look in a mirror, when we get the blinders of unbelief and of the mindfulness of this world off of our eyes, that our eyes are open, Lord, that we see your very presence and glory as who we are, Lord. And that we are transformed from the glory of this world to the glory of the kingdom of God by you, Holy Spirit. And that the Spirit that is within us grows and grows and grows and grows and brightens and brightens and brightens and brightens and is stronger and stronger and stronger as unbelief is removed, Lord. Father, we seek your face. Jesus, we seek your counsel and your friendship. Holy Spirit, we seek you as a very present person alive with us. And Father, that the reality of this would get stronger and stronger and brighter and brighter. Lord, I'm asking that each individual, when they take their time to spend with you, Lord, that they would, Father, manifest the present glory of God that would shine brightly in whatever room or space that they're in as they open up the doorway to heaven, that they can go in and out in your presence, Lord, that your glory would shine and fill that room, that heaven would invade earth in that space that they're in, Lord Jesus, and that they would be teleported, or however the right word is, vroom, right into your presence, Lord, that the answers to every one of their prayers would be yes and amen in him. That there would be no doubt that healing is for us. That in your presence and in that glory, there would be no doubt that it's your will to save all men. That in the presence of your glory and in that goodness of your love, that joy of your presence, Lord, that we are protected from every bit of the works of the wicked one, Lord. But Lord, this world has blinded so many hearts and minds that I ask that these individuals that hear my voice take it seriously, that we hear you, Lord, and that we are the sons and the daughters that walk in the goodness and the glory of God on the face of the earth, transforming the world around us to be awake to the kingdom of God's. That we would say, like Jesus said, that it's the works that I do, believe them. Because it's the Father that backs me up. Just like we have you, Holy Spirit, doing these works in the earth, backing us up. So, Father, I ask you to open up the hearts and the minds, the eyes of their understanding, Lord, that they would be enlightened, be able to see through the revelation and relationship with you of eternal life, forever living in your presence, your quality of everlasting life be upon everyone in this room and that can hear my voice, Lord. And that we would renew our minds, we would change what we say in our hearts, and we would line up with what you say, Lord. That when pain comes, we tell it to go in Jesus' name. When lies come, we tell them to go in Jesus' name. When troubles are around us, we're in peace because they will not come near us. That we have a perspective, Lord, of life and of love and of liberty, Lord. That when we walk into the room, we do not enter it alone. We enter it with our best friend. And that you make the kingdom of God a reality for those around us, Lord. I thank you for that, and I give you all the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.